You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Matt, we are back with yet another LTV. And usually when we do these LTVs, it's a YouTube video that I'm able to find. Sometimes a Daily Motion video, and they're kind of chopped to shit, right? It's like, this 3-hour television experience is like reduced to like 35 minutes. And a lot of people will write to us saying, oh, you're missing a lot of the jokes. Well, we found on archive.com that this particular episode was just basically unedited, uploaded like every video, every commercial break.
It's just 2 hours of MTV from this year. And for people who said we were missing the jokes, you were right.
You were right.
You're going to come right out the gate and say there was a lot here that I was so grateful to have in this episode.
But I also think that I realized, oh, he does a lot of like replaying old bits to fill out these 2 hours.
Well,
there's
a lot of replay of old bits, probably the most recycled material that we've seen so far, especially when you factor in that one Canadian edition that
he did. Yeah, the Much Music, which
we had, I think when we even talked about that one, we had the suspicion that that might happen. But the fact that this is so bulked out with everything, including the music videos, I actually feel like, despite it being rehashed material, it was one of the most satisfying LTVs I've watched so far.
Yeah, and this was a bulked out episode of LTV, so we decided to bring in our most bulked out guest
we can think of.
My good buddy, Nate Lopez from the 91 Donkey Lane podcast. Nate, welcome finally.
Hello.
To Weird Algorithm.
Hello, yes. Thank you for having me on. I'm so excited to do this.
So I have to ask, what is your experience with LTVs first? And then we'll dive into Weird Al in general. But was this your first ever experience watching an LTV, or did you try to catch it when it aired on MTV?
Oh, yeah. I was 13 at the time, so this was prime Weird Al for me. He had just released or was releasing the Off the Deep End album. Mm-hmm. That was like the first time that his parodies had directly affected my pop culture. I was a huge Nirvana fan, and it was one of those times where I loved Nirvana, I loved Weird Al, and I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be upset that he was making fun of Nirvana.
Yeah.
Right? So this was prime me. I remember specifically a couple of these bits from when I was 13, because this was kind of a big deal between me and my friends. You know, LTV would come on and we would try to record it off the TV and we would talk about it. I was in Boy Scouts at the time, and Weird Al Yankovic was easily a top five topic of discussion on every single Boy Scout meeting, every single camping trip. This was prime me. So I was right here for this. So I remember watching him. Not sure if it was this episode, but I do remember watching LTV.
All right. And I mean, the most logical follow-up question is also, do you remember the first time you discovered Weird Al existed at all?
Yeah. Again, Boy Scouts. This was, I guess I was like 11. I was a really young scout. And it's funny to say this, but it seemed subversive at the time. Because we were listening to Christmas at Ground Zero. And just the idea that you could make fun of something like Santa Claus that hard. It just, it blew my mind. It was so good. I went home and I immediately devoured every single bit of Weird Al I could get. I bought all his albums. I used to shovel sidewalks and I'd get an allowance from my parents. All of that money went to Weird Al for a good solid 18 months.
I love that. Okay.
Perfect. I will say, so, in the world of Weird Al's subversive parodies, Christmas at Ground Zero it definitely qualifies.
Yeah.
Right? That is still a bold and upsetting thing to hear. Many, many decades later. It's crazy. Yeah.
We establish real quick what year it is when you hit play on this archive video, because we just get Pearl Jam Alive. That's the last video that plays on MTV before Al TV kicks off.
Yes.
And we're like, all right, this is where we are. Instead of the normal, you know, normally the Al TVs would start off with him making fun of the first episode of MTV, and he would do like the whole rocket ship. And
yeah,
it's the 90s. He's not doing that anymore.
No.
Now it's just a teeny tiny Al TV gong that he runs in and kicks and then just starts dancing as the song plays. It's perfect.
It was surprising to see a different intro there. I thought the same thing, especially, well, now in hindsight, because I hadn't thought of it at the time. Like, so much of this is recycled, but there's the bits of new footage are truly new. Gotta
truly new.
That.
And then, of course, if Al's taking over MTV, why would the first video that he play not be UHF? It just makes sense for that to be the song that you kick it off with. But then we get the thing that we've probably been missing out the most with all the other ways that we've watched the Al TV, when we get the REM Losing My Religion video, where he is just commentating over the video. He's making sound effects. The squeaking noises every time
so
Michael
funny.
Stipe dances.
That was so funny.
Again, it's worth, people should watch these, because he is just, I still cannot believe that he got permission to do this. He is just yelling over the song.
It's wild. Like, when he just screams, consider this!
Consider this!
I lost my shit. I lost one. That was so funny.
He is yelling over Losing My Religion the whole song and doing, like, commentary kind of over the top. There's more of these coming up.
Oh,
and it's an amazing thing to watch live, because when you're watching the two-hour break, you really... It makes you appreciate how subversive, I'm going to use that word again, you honestly cannot tell sometimes whether or not a music video is going to be an Al spoof or it's the real thing. You can't tell if a commercial is real or an Al spoof. Like, the way it just plays is so hard to track where you are in the show. It's really an incredible feat.
We're honestly so deep in the parody hole, it starts eating its own tail.
Exactly.
Like that,
exactly.
There's a Van Halen video.
Oh my God.
Coming up
there's
later.
So
I
much
wasn't
to talk
sure.
I the number of music videos I had to cross check. Like, this took me, honestly, guys, this took me like the longest prep time for any episode I've ever had, because this is 2 straight hours of footage. And then I had to go and check and be like, wait a minute, I don't think that was in the Van Halen video. But I haven't seen a Van Halen video in forever. So I had to like check my, like, did Van Halen add a dig to David Lee Roth into their own music video?
Yeah.
The answer is no, but for a minute, I honestly thought they might have.
Can I make a quick point about UHF before we move
on? Sure, absolutely.
In a row, we got Victoria Jackson, Michael Richards. That was shocking. That little just 5-second run there really, really kind of whacked me in the face.
In hindsight, I mean, UHF is even more... It only gets wilder as the years pass and you look back on what it was. Yeah. It's just so hard to believe that, you know, a true how did this get made scenario, you know?
Absolutely. So here's the thing. The only way, truly the only way to tell what is going to be a legitimate video and what is going to be like Al doing a parody of a video is how likely is it that MTV would be playing this video in 1992? You know what I mean? So, like, when Madness House of Fun played, I was like, this is 100% Al pulling out a song that he loves and just throwing it into
the
broadcast.
I love
same
the
thing
fact
with,
we
like,
get
they,
those.
Might be giants.
They might be giants. They might be giants, the B-52s, which actually the B-52s arguably are one of the only ones in the middle there where they actually do have, like, a legit hit. But we know Al loves the B-52s. Yeah, no, some of the picks are clearly just Al's taste, which is also wonderful to see. Just
yeah,
what
like
Al
the Ricky
was
Ricardo.
Putting out there.
He just plays a music video from Ricky Ricardo, like an I Love Lucy dance track.
That was so, God, that was the weirdest part of this 2 hours.
Okay, wait a minute, because this is the most important thing we're going to have to talk about. And we're just going to get right into it. We're jumping ahead slightly, but it's okay. So there is a music video that plays in the middle of this that is credited to Ricky Ricardo. Yeah. And the song is called Babaloo Music.
Yep. Who is a fictional character, by the
Ricky
way.
Ricky Ricardo is not a real guy. It's Jesse Arnaz. But guys, I did some research on this. That is,
yeah, this is a real song.
It's a real song that Al made.
Oh God.
That is Weird Al did a remix. Weird Al is a producer of a record that is called Babaloo Music that came out in the 90s that Al produced. The entire point was to take the music of I Love Lucy and try to introduce it into a new generation. But that first song is a straight Weird Al remix containing sound bites and musical elements from I Love Lucy. Guys, I was flabbergasted to find this. It is if you look on Al's credits, it is the second credited production he has after Peter and the Wolf.
Wow. And there was there's real time spent on this too.
Oh my God.
The animation, the recoloring. It was, there was time spent on this, but I had to watch it twice.
I watched it at least four times. I could not believe it. There is a full CD of music and Al produced all of it. Now it seems like a lot of it is just truly lifted from the show. But it's on CD. That CD is nowhere to be found. I have to look on the secondhand market. I need to find this. This is important. This is like this is a true lost Al thing that I did not know existed. I don't know if anyone listening to this is screaming at their car radio right now going like, "You idiot, you didn't know about Babaloo Music." But I had no clue. This is an actual Al thing. We're going to have to like talk about it more later, I think. I don't know. Does this count as an actual Al track? It might.
I had no idea it existed. I thought floored. I knew a lot about Weird Al.
Totally floored.
The first time I'd ever heard that. I knew about Babaloo, right? Everyone knows about Babaloo. This was something else. I would like to see an update on it.
I mean, it came at a time where you can also appreciate in the video, they do the thing where like some of the footage is in black and white and some of it is in color, which was at the time they were restoring the old episodes and colorizing them. So I think that this went hand in hand with that. Nice. You can just see, and it's amazing because Al's credit, even on the CD, I found a picture of the CD and on the back, it just says produced by Al Yankovic. It doesn't even say Weird Al.
Wow.
It says produced by Al Yankovic.
You can't be weird when you're producing.
You can't be weird when you're producing for a fictional TV character. It's not a real human being.
The
90s
loved that. Like the Simpsons had a couple albums in the early 90s.
The Simpsons put out records too.
So Babaloo Music, I Love Lucy's Greatest Hits, a used copy is on Amazon right now for $17.
That's worth it.
I mean, I watched this yesterday. I did some research. I found that one track on YouTube. And again, you can find it as a music video. If you search for Ricky Ricardo, Babaloo Music, you'll find this video. And everyone needs to watch that right away. But I really think we might need to find this album and do a deep dive on it. But no, this is shocking.
I'm like sitting here and I'm like, I could theoretically write this off. This is for the podcast. Right here, live on the air, because it says there's only one left. I'm going for it. I'm buying it.
Do it. Yeah, as your accountant, I approve.
Yeah, this is critical. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. This is a valid write-off. Anyone from the IRS listening can agree.
Yeah. You know what I did appreciate about the beginning of this episode, getting off of Babaloo for a second?
Yes.
Is that his first run of jokes were potato puns. And his first song was Taco Grande. Just sticking with theme.
So,
right out of the bat, he knows what he does, and he does it well.
So right away, the start of it is him talking about how the Seattle music scene has died and that the new hot scene for music is Boise. And he proceeds to make five really bad potato puns in a row.
They got worse as they went.
I actually didn't even write them down because I was just like, sure, this is Al just doing bad potato puns.
The only one I wrote down was this Spuds for You. That was the first one that jumped out at me.
Yep.
And then, then we get the music video for the best we're going to get as an example of a music video for Taco Grande, which I think we talked about briefly in that episode.
Well, so the Much Music thing that we got, he kept talking about how he was going to premiere the newest music video from Gerardo. And then all we got, because the people we're putting on YouTube are so afraid of copyright infringement. Yeah. That it literally was just like, and here's the new video. And then it just cut to the last 10 seconds. And we heard him say Taco Grande. And we were like, wait, does there exist a video where Al just put his song over top of the original video and called it a day? And the answer is yes. But I do want to bring it back to the Al news real quick. He does all the potato bits. He goes to the video, which there is a funny thing in the video that we'll get to in a second. But he gets a very timely Bill Clinton joke in there where he says he tried a beer once but didn't swallow.
Yeah.
Which is such a good reference at that time to the, like, I smoked but I didn't inhale.
I was going to say, for potentially younger listeners to this podcast who maybe are not familiar, when Bill Clinton was running for office the first time, he got busted for admitting that he had tried marijuana in his youth, and that was his line of defense, was I tried it but I didn't inhale, which created a tremendous amount of debate among people going, is that even a thing you can do?
they would always play it, they'd always play it over footage of him playing saxophone on Arsenio
I know the saxophone playing pothead from Oklahoma or Arkansas.
Did you catch the credits in the bottom of the screen during the Taco Grande video that says Weird Al Yankovic, Taco Grande, as visualized by Gerardo?
That's hilarious.
As visualized by Gerardo. Without a doubt, the only time Gerardo got that credit in his whole stupid career.
That is so funny. That's a Michael Scott joke.
That, honestly, it really
Gretzky,
is.
Michael Scott.
I cannot believe that was used like in earnest, which is just as visualized by Gerardo, which is just their way of saying this is a completely different song overlaid over the wrong music video. It's really fun to watch, though, because you get those moments where occasionally Al's lyric and his line up.
And
you just see him like seemingly singing Al's lyric to the song, and those are fun.
I'll be honest, I watch a lot of dubbed anime these days. My girlfriend is very, very into it, so I've been watching a lot. I didn't notice anything.
Didn't even register that it was an issue.
Didn't even register. It's just, this is happening. Okay. Yeah.
Well, then he gets into a Def Leppard Al news break where he talks about how Joe Elliott lost his car keys, leading to the breakup of the band, saying that this was the last straw, which is such a dark joke. But then it cuts to an Al interview, which I don't remember what this, because I watched this a couple days ago. I have in quotes, "Get on your knees, bitch."
Yeah, he says to them, he says, "I thought you were working on," it's like, "What's the name of that new really sweet ballad you guys were working on?" And then it cuts to Def Leppard, who just say, "Get on your knees, bitch." And just like, oh my God. Like,
God.
But I think that Def Leppard joke did appear on the Much Music one as well. It's going to be hard to track every single one of these and whether or not we've seen it before. I felt like that was vaguely familiar to me, but
there was a lot of them where I was like, I'm pretty sure, like the Paula Abdul one, I know for sure was in the Much Music.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But so we get another Al prize.
A contest for My Dinner with Al.
Dinner with Al, but we have to shout out certain Al-isms. One of the previous contests he names is the guess the number of molecules on my butt.
In my butt. Yep.
Like, he just keeps coming back to this one line in so many things. And then, of course, during the date, we know that there's one thing that Al always likes to promote. It's flossing. Al is just sitting there at the table flossing his teeth immediately after the meal.
With food in his mouth. Food in his mouth.
It is actually one of the better. There's no way to properly describe what a great visual gag it is that Al is describing the dinner that you win with him. And he is at the table just being an absolute pig with the food. And this woman is looking horrified and he's just dumping like liquid on her plate. And at the end, he is flossing in front of her at the table with a mouthful of food and using like 6 feet of floss that he's just aggressively
easily.
Like he's sawing his head off.
Cutting down a tree.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Insane.
There was a commercial in this one for Vidal Sassoon that I have to comment on. It was a three and... It shows you how the times have changed. I get made fun of a lot if I use 2-in-1. You know, my girlfriend, you should separate the conditioner, shampoo, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
This was a Vidal Sassoon made for women. It was a 3-in-1. One bottle, 3 different soaps. I thought that was very forward of them. I don't know. It just it was interesting to me that they sold 3-in-1 to women back then.
I didn't clock that. What's the third? If it's like shampoo, conditioner, what's the third element?
I assume some sort of body wash. I don't know. It was they said 3-in-1 in it. So I don't know. It seemed like it seemed excessive to me.
It's beyond our three dudes in this chat are not going to be able to crack this one. What the third soap is in of the Dal Sassoon 1990 special. I don't know.
If we're going to briefly talk about commercials that weren't Al commercials, but were actually legitimate stuff, there is an ad to vote for the most desirable female yes. category in the MTV Jesus. Video Awards set to U2's Mysterious Ways. Yes. And I was just like, what the fuck is happening?
I thought it was a bit. Like,
I did too. I thought it was a bit. Once again, guys, for the MTV Awards, the category is most desirable female.
My God.
Can you imagine?
My God.
And it what was... did I write it down who the candidates were?
You had Julia Roberts, Christina Applegate, what's her name from Terminator 2?
Linda Hamilton.
Linda Hamilton. Those are the three I remember.
Oh, Kim Basinger.
Yep.
Oh, and Tia Carrere from Wayne's World. From Wayne's World, of course.
No, Dwayne and Garth were in 50 Hottest People. In
I did see. They were also promoting People Magazine, the hottest people of the year, yes. And Wayne and Garth are both in there as well. God. It's definitely a very interesting time capsule to see those sorts of things from now. But also, if you want to vote in this category, you have to call their number, and each phone call costs 95 cents.
Of course it does.
To vote for most desirable female
Good
MTV
Lord.
Listeners.
Now I need to know who won.
Oh,
let's
God.
See. Who do you think won that?
My money's on Tia Carrere. That's I think she was
given Wayne's World. I think that's and it being an MTV award, I'm inclined to agree. I feel like that's a
It went to Linda Hamilton.
Linda
Look
Hamilton.
At that.
Linda Hamilton. Terminator 2 was on quite a run here. Actually, it won best movie. It won best female performance for Linda Hamilton. It won best the most desirable female.
Best performance and most desirable. Isn't that just? Every young girl's dream.
Which one best action higher?
I was gonna say, which one's higher up on the mantelpiece of Linda Hamilton's home in 2024?
Another couple quick notes here about this particular award show. The Lifetime Achievement Award was given to Jason Voorhees.
Look at that! Good for him. Hey. Well, he went to New York and the moon.
That is
so.
Great. Yeah. He put the work in.
And there was performances. There was four performances. You got Vince Neil came out and did You're Invited, But Your Friend Can't Come.
Okay.
Wow.
Arrested Development performed Tennessee.
Nice.
Okay. That makes sense. That's cool.
En Vogue performed My Lovin', You're Never Gonna Get It.
Dope.
That's a good song.
Dope.
And of course, the most important of the performances, Ugly Kid Joe came out and performed Everything About You.
Wow.
What a time to be alive.
I was going
to
say, guys, yeah. As if these desirable females weren't enough.
Oh,
Ugly Kid Joe on television.
I was curious if that was a one and done, but no, the desirable female role award did continue.
Oh,
into
I'm sure it did.
Of course it did. Wow,
brutal.
I thought that was something where they came to their senses after the first time, but they kept that going.
Well, while we're on,
it's a compliment.
Oh wait, hold on a second. One last thing because this is fucked.
Yeah,
1994.
Okay,
most desirable female. One of the nominees was Alicia Silverstone in The Crush, where she plays a 14-year-old girl.
Yikes, like, yikes, oh, no. yikes.
Oh,
shut
no.
it down.
Big ick. Maybe that was the year they stopped. Maybe that was the year someone said,
please. Yeah, big Natalie Portman in The Professional vibes there.
Like,
no,
what
thank
are we
you.
Doing? No, thank you.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
And Maggie.
And we're excited for you to join our Best Friend Hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Meanwhile, in New Jersey...
So, Marissa, what talking points do you want to hit on in this week's episode?
Well, Jackie, let's talk about how the film addresses the patriarchy. Ooh, and representation of marginalized people. Ooh, and even philosophical ramifications of good versus evil in horror.
We can point out the triangle boobs, talk about the blood splatter, and, the practical effects. And also the male gaze?
My gaze at the males...
Hi-yo! From feminism to fangirling, the Jersey Ghouls cover all the bases of horror from a woman's perspective.
New episodes are uploaded every other Sunday.
Just search Jersey Ghouls to find us on social media and your favorite podcasting app.
So we do get a replay of a video I think we've talked about like four times now on this podcast of Al performing Polka Your Eyes Out on the Dr. Demento 25th anniversary special, and every time it just
so
you
good.
Have to shout out how impressive this live
I know I've
is.
Said it many times. If you haven't watched it yet, go find that. It's from the Dr. Demento anniversary special, and it's just a flawless live version of this song. It really does make you appreciate just how much work goes into making these sorts of things, the way they do it live with a brass band behind them. I mean, it's really good.
Yep. Yeah, he must be exhausted after every show. Oof. This guy's so hard.
There's no way he's not just like passed out by the end of it. We get the I Can't Dance music video, and they play the video in full basically until the last scene where Al just comes out and does his tap dance.
Al put himself. Al was, every time they came dancing along, there was a fourth guy. It was Al who put himself in the video.
Al green screens himself into this Genesis video.
Yes.
But like subtly enough that it's not...
Yes.
Immediately noticeable.
This is what I'm saying, guys. This is like really deep stuff. Like, if you have to really be watching the show, if you're not paying enough attention, these things can go past you and you're not even going to clock that there's comedy involved in this. Yeah.
How is Phil Collins? My God, that man is weird looking. He's so weird looking.
He's the only person who looked more normal when he was made into a puppet in a music video.
Like, I had that exact
like the
thought.
Phil Collins puppet, you're like, that looks more like how I imagine Phil Collins.
It's a super, it's a really weird video. I don't think I had ever seen that before with or without Al. And I actually wrote down in my notes, is Phil Collins hilarious? Because I'm honestly not sure. He might be hilarious. I don't know.
Yeah, he makes fun of himself a lot in that video.
He does.
One of the constantly favorite segments in Al TV for us is his fake tour list. Yes. And once again, he shouts out the Alapalooza tour. This is still we're getting to Alapalooza on our next album, but like this is still predating that album.
The joke of Alapalooza is that it's all artists whose name are Al.
Yes.
He runs down as like Al Jolson. Like he's just going naming everyone he can think of who starts with.
I admit I laughed. I thought that was funny.
Yes. Yeah. It was great.
He's going to play a charity for Billy Vanelli. He's really just taking pot shots at this poor band. he's playing the Total Eclipse of the Sun set.
Yes.
He's playing the International House of Raw,
Raw
Pork. Or he was supposed to play it. Yeah, it got canceled. He's going to play the Fresno Diner. And then, of course, he has his month at Bob's House.
Yeah,
which is sold out, by the way.
Sold out 32 shows at Bob's House.
What a huge step down, because usually it was a 30-day residency at Madison Square Garden, and now it's just Bob's House.
He's done that before, yeah.
One other commercial that kept showing up that I had to write down, I think it was the second or third time it showed up. I do not remember the existence of a PB Max bar, but this commercial where it's like the PB and PB Max does not stand for penguin something. I don't even remember what the B stands for, and it's just a penguin running up and doing karate.
Yeah, that was... my early 90s pop culture trivia is pretty good, and I have no recollection.
No recollection of PB Max.
The best I can think of is this, it's a candy bar filled with peanut butter and jelly.
They had a Heath bar commercial later on, and they chose the weirdest candy. No one ate Heath bars. I don't understand.
The Heath bar commercial also made Heath bars look like they were the hippest candy. That has never been the case. Like, whoever was like, ooh, look how cool that guy is with a Heath bar.
We get
I couldn't
in...
even tell you what's in a Heath bar. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I have to charge really quick because I just looked it up. The PB Max commercials, because there's actually a Wikipedia page for it. Early television commercials declared the PB in its name didn't stand for things such as piggy banks, polka band, portly ballerina, platinum blonde, or penguin black belt. That's what
penguin
it was.
Black belt. But wait. You're telling me that one of the options was polka band, and that's not the ad you decided to run on the weird
Al
TV?
The polka band one, yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
That's a bad, I don't think Al was in charge of the advertising.
It was produced by Mars Candies, and very short-lived, did not do well.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, they had a good advertising campaign.
They were trying.
We get a large chunk of this special is him just replaying. He really reuses the complete Al footage as much as he can in some of these Al TVs. So we get a lot of that. We
which
have
they
a
credit
whole episode
as the Weird Al story in this, which we've seen, we've talked about before, him like with the fans, batting them away, selling the merchandise, talking to the people from his past. You get, again, the wonderful talking head with his parents, who are great. You get the I laugh every time. Oh, we get I don't want to do my laundry.
Yeah,
guy on
every
the banjo,
time.
Which will never. I'll never get tired of that. Anything
that
he wants
so
to make with that dude is the best.
It's so funny. That guy was so funny to me.
He gave so much. We need to find him. Now, the one thing I can never remember if it's in the complete Al or not is Al giving the speech to his fans where he says, he's talking about how worthless he'd be without his fans, and he says, "I'd be a kangaroo." Wait, did I say kangaroo? I meant amoeba.
I wrote this down. His order is worm, kangaroo, amoeba, paramecium. In that order.
And then we get to what we were talking about earlier, this complete re-edit of the Van Halen Right Now music video where he is just having the time of his life changing what the things are on the screen throughout the song. Now, we caught the tail end of this. He redid this on Much Music where it shows Al and it says Al's getting bored of this video. Al's going to shut it off.
But
we didn't get the full video. I literally thought when we saw that he just played the normal video and added that to the end. But he literally has like basically redone almost every single slide in that video.
So guys, so for people who don't know, the original version of this video, it's like a super serious like Van Halen trying to make a statement music video. And every, like the whole video is just these title cards that pop up on screen. It was like, right now, someone in America is deciding to keep their baby or what. I don't, it's like really intense,
really
shit.
Dark shit.
Heavy,
for Van
heavy
Halen.
Stuff. And Al is adding these title cards of just nonsense, including one, and again, genuinely got me, where it was like, one of them says, right now, Van Halen is planning a world tour. And the card that comes up after that is a video of David Lee Roth sitting at a desk, and it goes, right now, David Lee Roth is looking for a day job.
Yeah.
Because this is the Van Hagar era. Yep. And it edited in so seamlessly that I sincerely thought, I was like, did Van Halen throw in a jab at David Lee Roth? Because I knew at this moment they were not friendly at all. Like, it was bad scene.
Yeah.
But no, it was Al.
I like this particular point in music history because it's you can see all these hair metal bands responding to Seattle. So they all take themselves so seriously.
So seriously.
Yeah.
For about 3 years here. It's great. There's a Guns N' Roses video later on that's just the most serious thing in the world.
Oh yeah.
And we talked about it last week when we were talking about You Don't Love Me Anymore, but some of those bands even tried to recreate the sound of Seattle and put out like the Motley Crue early 90s records are some of the most unlistenable. Like the self-titled album and Generation Swine are real tough to get through because it is a band trying to sound like the current times that has no emotional attachment to the movement that it's playing, and it just like seeps through every single song.
It really does make you appreciate it. Was such a mad dash because Nirvana again like blew up the music world entirely, but then Kurt died so quickly that it was just like while people were recalibrating to this new world, then he dies, and now it's like, well, now what do we do?
Well, that's why I've said it's this crazy. A million times. 95 and 96 is my absolute favorite time on the radio because you get so many bands signed to record contracts that would have never been on the radio. Bands like the Butthole Surfers getting contracts because they need to find the next Nirvana as quickly as possible. And you get some of the most interesting music to ever be released to radio during those 2 years. It's insane.
To be fair, you also get Bush. So
I love Bush. I think 16 Stone is a great album. I think that that band got better with each release.
I think it's a serviceable album. I did have it. I wouldn't turn it off, but, you know.
Also, Gavin Rossdale's just dreamy. He's a dreamy human being.
He was a very handsome man.
Doesn't matter what your sexuality is, you can't look at that dude and not think, yeah, I'd fuck that.
I'm not going to argue with you on that.
So we finally have a term for people like us. We are Al-aholics. And there's this fake PSA for the Al-aholics Anonymous. There is this moment. I had to clock this. I think all three of us will know this reference point. There is a scene where Al is holding what looks to be a baby. And then it's this baby doll face. Yep. And I swear to God, it's the zombie baby from Dead Alive.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make sense because Dead Alive didn't come out for a year after this aired. So I don't know what is happening.
That's amazing. Like, you're right. I didn't clock what that was. I did see it and I thought that looks really familiar and it looks too good for what he has here. Like who made him this? Like it's really like a gross, gross looking creature.
There's no way it's not the baby from Dead Alive. It looks fucking identical to it.
Well, at this point, he'd already done a movie. You know, he'd been in industry for a while. I'm sure he knew somebody who's like, hey, check this out. Ooh, I'm going to use it.
Was that person Peter Jackson?
What, do you think Peter Jackson wasn't a big Weird Al fan?
Peter Jackson is filming Al TV episode 6 for him and was like, ooh, check this out.
Okay. I want to see Weird Al as a hobbit or as an elf.
It's not too late. We can do it. We can do it.
We were talking about all the different video edits, and we'll get to the Guns N' Roses one because that one is very funny. But my favorite one is the black or white video where first of all, it's him intercutting the We're Not Going to Take It speech from Twisted Sister.
That goes hard when he's screaming it.
Honestly, guys, another example of like this was happening, and I was like, wait a minute. This is not like, because it's such a good mashup. Other than the fact that the dad climbing the stairs just switches into another dude.
It's Norm from Cheers. It goes from Norm from Animal House. But
this is one of those memory things where in my mind, I always thought it was John Goodman as the dad. In my mind, it was always
John Goodman. That's a believable mistake
to
make.
George
Wendt
shows up. That's right. That kind of took me by surprise.
But this guy, you said the guy from Animal House, I don't know that actor's name, just screaming at Macaulay Culkin. And
it went so hard.
It's so good. And then you get to the end of the video where the people are changing and saying black or white. And his overdub of every person's voice during that scene, equally hilarious. Like, it's so, so funny.
So we have to address something. It's important. We've talked about how for Off the Deep End, we just finished talking about Off the Deep End a whole bunch.
Oh, that's right. He wanted to do a parody of Black or White.
Al wanted
got
to do a parody of Black or White.
Yeah.
And he was famously going to call it Snack All Night. Michael Jackson said no because he thought that the subject matter for Black or White was too serious to parody. Guys, Al plays this video and sings the whole song himself in a chipmunk voice. He doesn't change the lyrics, but he sings all of Black or White like a sped up chipmunk. It is absolutely hilarious and could not be more disrespectful. There's no way that that is less inappropriate than whatever Snack All Night would have been.
It's
but
so
I can't
funny
believe
again,
it.
That's against the, that karaoke video computer graphic shit that's in most of the video. It is so funny.
It's hilarious. Oh my God. The way down to like Michael Jackson has this stupidly high voice, and then in the middle of the song there's that rap done by Macaulay Culkin, and then Macaulay's rap is two octaves lower than he should be. I mean,
it's so good.
It's amazing, and I honestly cannot believe that it exists. Like, did Al ask permission to do that? I don't think he had to.
I don't think he has to on MTV.
The fact that Michael said no, I'm blown away that this exists. Like,
that's
I can't
be the only time he ever said no. There's so many Weird Al Yankovic Michael Jackson.
Well, yes. Look, we're getting very, very, very close to this, but The other person who's infamously told Al no Prince. A whole lot is Prince.
It's Prince.
Yep. And we're getting to Alapalooza where he's straight up just as like, that's it. Prince keeps saying no. I'm not even going to ask permission anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to do a parody of Let's Go Crazy, and I won't list it as a parody. It's just going to be listed as a style parody. But like Traffic Jam is almost note for note the song Let's Go Crazy by Prince. It's
amazing.
It's carefully insane. Constructed, yes, to be yeah. safe.
Amazing.
So we get a live performance. I think this is the first time that we've had an actual like Al performs a song on Al TV. Oh,
very first time.
My and he notes, does You Don't Love Me Anymore. It's amazing.
My notes here, I would listen to an entire album, Al Unplugged. I thought, yeah, especially totally. That song was so funny in that setting, and he sings it so well. Yep. I enjoyed that so much.
And he does the guitar fake out that he does in the video. It's still funny every time. Matt, is that Steve J playing the keys in the background?
I think it's Steve J, the bass player, is playing keyboards. I can't tell. It might be a... The backing track might be pre-programmed. They might just be miming along back there. I don't actually know. But it does seem like they're really doing the thing. Yeah, no,
and
it sounds...
still takes him a couple of whacks to break that guitar.
He breaks
the
guitar at the end, which is not easy for him to do. He has a hard time. And then my favorite part is after he finishes breaking the guitar, they dim the lights and you see him at the back and he is like feeding his two band members treats. Like they're like they're dogs who just did a good job. Yeah. Literally holding it above their mouths and they reach up and grab it. It's great.
I think we've said this before on this show, but the Al TV stuff more than anything else really shows that Al's not just doing... Al hasn't had the same three band members his entire career just because they're good musicians and good friends. Mm-hmm. They are so down with whatever gag or joke he pitches at them. There's no hesitation. They're just like, yep. Like, I genuinely believe that they are as funny as Al.
I think what sets them apart, and I'm coming as a huge fan of this. I think the anti-charisma exhibited by those three is so counterbalanced by his extreme charisma that you find this perfect balance. You
Well, they just play it so straight, right? Like, they just play it like we are here to be musicians. And
yes.
And giving off the aura of like, we don't understand what's funny about this. We're just here to play songs is the smartest comedic move you can make because they're not all going to have microphones. They're not all going to be telling jokes, but just being the straight men to Al is exactly the counterbalance he needs.
Yep.
It's very much, I mean, they're predating this already by 10 years, but at this time right now, me and Matt Kelly world, my girlfriend has never seen The State, so we've been watching all the episodes of The State.
So fun.
Yeah.
And I think it's in that same vein of, like, half of the stuff that works with The State is them buying the most absurd premise as just normal.
Yep.
Like one of the lines was, one of the early sketches, if you remember, is the one where the son brings home a mud wrestler. And she's like... He's like, so what exactly is mud wrestling? And she's like, well, first of all, we need a pit of mud. Do you have a pit of mud? He's like, well, we have a small one under the table. Will that work? And they just like, they flip over the table. And he's like, I didn't even know this was a thing you could do in here. I just played in it. It's like so outrageous. And that's how all of Al's bandmates are, is just whatever the most absurd premise is, they just yes end into it. They're like, yep, nope, that's totally what it is.
Yep, I do like that.
Al does a House of Style parody, which like... There is this period in the early 90s where MTV is trying to find stuff to break up between the music videos, and they are creating these obnoxious shows like House of Style or like the MTV Extreme Sports stuff. Like, it is like aggressively frustrating. I misheard what he said in the beginning, and I thought he said it was clothing made entirely of poop. And it took until like 45 seconds into this bit where I'm like, oh, fruit. They're wearing fruit.
To be fair, the designer's name is Reginald Buttplug.
Reginald Buttplug.
That didn't help me not think that he said the word poop. I won't lie.
Again, a funny little surprising line where he was like, let's go to Reginald Buttplug. And I was like, just did not expect Al to say that. Like, not at all. Like, that really got me.
Then we've already hinted at it. We get the Guns N' Roses Don't Cry video. And his his thing where he comes on, the line that killed me was when he comes onto the megaphone when they're playing on the roof and he goes, "This is the music video police. Stop ripping off Let It Be."
I loved his talking over the big fight at the beginning. "No, you always get to play with the gun. Give it."
I got it. Oh my God. And you're right. This is like, again, Guns N' Roses just taking themselves so seriously with this video. And like, Don't Cry is a great song. It is a great Guns N' Roses song, but this video is so over the top. And then the confusing closing shot of the baby coming out of the water and zooming into its eye. And there are two versions of this video.
Of course there are.
They released a sequel video to the same song like a couple months later.
God.
This was the only one I thought to myself, I'm not a huge Guns N' Roses fan, generally speaking. And I thought, like, if it wasn't for Al's narration, I would have skipped this. Because it goes on and on and on. And yeah,
it's
like
so long.
Painfully self-important.
Yes.
Oh, the entirety of that, like, there's a reason why it took 20 years for the next Guns N' Roses album. Because the Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 album, like, when people talk about how you don't need double albums, like, this is the prime example. These are like two albums. I think it's 23 songs total, and I think besides like the rap that Axl Rose put at the end of one of the songs, I think the next shortest song is like 6.5 minutes. Like, it is so overbloated. It is so long.
That's so obnoxious. Yeah, it's Walk Hard styles of parody right there.
Oh, God. And then the other, I always talk about this because it's a fun music fact. They obviously announced that the next album that they were going to do was Chinese Democracy.
Yep.
It took forever for it to come out. And at one point,
I know what you're going to say, and I love this story.
Yeah, at one point, The Offspring was going to release an album called Chinese Democracy, You Snooze, You Lose, and Axl Rose sued them to not release the album.
That is so funny.
It's so good. But we get into probably my favorite bit that I've seen him do in a long time, which is when he's just going over some of the albums that he's purchased in the last month. And the first one is the new Vanilla Ice track, and it's just the song Stairway to Heaven. And then at the end of the first verse, he just goes, "Yeah, boy!"
Like, that was awesome. So funny to me. I feel like he predicted the next 30 years of music right there.
Then it's the Bobby McFerrin All Fart Noises album, which is funny.
That's so funny.
It sounds like he might have actually gotten the guy who does all the hand farts on Al's records. It's really what it sounds like. The manualist, I think, is the proper name for the hand farts man.
Hand farts man.
I know, right?
He goes, and here's the new Warrant album with their new single, "She's a Glazed Donut, I'm a Polish Sausage." Get it? which I feel bad for Warrant, because, man, they did not want to be known as the Cherry Pie Band. That was like a thing thrust upon them.
What are you gonna
do? The record label was like, "We need another hit."
What are you gonna do? I mean, they bought them all houses. I don't feel that bad for them. Yeah.
I'll never forget the behind the music on Warrant, and the lead singer Warrant is talking about it. He goes, "You know, when I wrote that song," he's so like, when you talk about artists who hate their biggest hit, I don't think anyone hated their biggest hit more than Warrant. He's like, "You know, back in 1990 when I wrote that song, if I knew that for the next 30 years I'd be judging pie eating contests for the rest of my life, I maybe wouldn't have put the song." Like,
I think he straight up says, "I could shoot myself for writing that fucking song."
The way he speaks, he sounds like a Tolkien like scholar when he speaks. You know?
I know.
This is what he's known for.
We get a great violent moment from Al where he's watching a David Bryan video and he wants to see a David Byrne video, and he wants to keep replaying the scene where a hammer smashes his head, and he decides to do it to himself, and it's a pretty well done, because it's a single take.
Yeah,
he hits himself with the hammer, and then just the blood slowly just starts to come down his face.
It's actually like kind of harrowing. Like, he does, because it was funny because he does, again, a classic bit that he's done before on LTV, where he's like, "Oh, I love that bit, show it again." And they show again David Byrne hitting himself with a hammer, but then it's like a cartoon effect where his head shrinks and then gets big again. It's very like Who Framed Roger Rabbit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And And Al makes him do it a couple times. And I thought the joke was going to end the way it usually does, which is where he asks again. He's like, can we watch it one more time? Sorry, they're telling me we got to move on. Like the producer yelling at him from the back that he's shown the same clip six times. But in this case, instead of doing that, yeah, he takes a hammer and just straight up like hits himself like between the eyes, looks like as hard as possible. He has a moment of like scared confusion on his face. Mm-hmm. And then he says,
you can see the concussion.
Yes. And then he says, let this be a lesson. Never hit yourself in the head as hard as you can with a hammer. And as he's saying this, the blood is slowly trickling down to his nose. Like it's like if he was just like it's almost out of a movie. It looks really good slash.
It reminded me
upsetting.
Of the Fifth Element when Gary Oldman is sitting there in the blood. That I got strong vibes from that.
Yes.
All right. So we have to talk about my favorite thing that I deep dived into, which is
bad news.
Bad news.
Yes. when Al's about to play Queen Bohemian Rhapsody, he goes, you know, because of Wayne's World, we play this new version of the video, and I feel like people have forgotten the original, so I want to play the original. I did so much research on this fake English heavy metal band called Bad News and this impossibly awful cover that they've done of Bohemian Rhapsody. Insane.
It's so funny. There's 30 seconds in the middle of this video where they just fight each other in their dressing room. It's so funny. Little jokes you have to watch out for, like, no, 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 I don't think so.
It's incredible. And yes, they were a sketch group as part of the UK Channel 4 TV series, The Comic Strip Presents. Where they formed this fake heavy metal band basically right around the exact same time as Spinal Tap. Like, Bad News and Spinal Tap both started around the same time.
It was
crazy. They started in 83.
Because honestly, when this first started, that was the first thing I thought of course. I was like, this is like Spinal Tap. Who is doing this?
Yep.
And it was a British version. Two of the guys in the band are Adrian Edmondson and Rick Mayall, who went on for UK comedy fans. I have more knowledge of UK comedy than I have any right to because my wife is British and I've spent a lot of time over there with the band. But they were in the very popular TV show The Young Ones, which has become like a big sort of like early like 90s UK comedy thing. And then Rick Mayall, he's an
Drop
actor.
Dead Fred.
Drop Dead Fred. Yeah, he was the lead of, he played Fred in Drop Dead Fred, which, depending on who you ask, is either the best or worst performance of all time.
The first two-thirds of that movie are amazing.
I'm a big apologist. I love Drop Dead Fred. I think that movie is
honestly
great.
That came out on Blu-ray recently, so I grabbed it to rewatch it because I loved it as a kid. That movie tackles some really deep shit about like child abuse
it
and
really
stuff
does.
In the last act. And I was like, oh my God.
It felt like a black box performance. You know?
It really takes a turn at the end.
It's one of those great movies, a kid's movie from that time period where it's like you can appreciate it as a wacky, zany kid's movie. And only when you're older are you like, oh my God, this is hitting on stuff that I didn't realize how deep this was as a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we do get Harvey right towards the end. Harvey the Wonder Hamster shows up and Al says he's nervous because Ozzy Osbourne is here.
Right.
Get a classic Ozzy Osbourne biting the heads off animals thing. We get the replay of the Ozzy interview, which still makes me laugh every single time. Specifically, the Ozzy, did you cut one? And he goes, don't blame me. He goes, well, there's two of us here, so it had to be you. And he goes, it may be not.
And my other favorite, I know I quoted this exact line last time, but Ozzy, Al just asks Ozzy, like, how are you doing? How's your family? And Ozzy just goes, my kid went to see a movie and got run over.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I don't understand what the original context of that line was, but God, I love it so much.
The only thing I've written down about that segment is an Ozzy Osbourne I can understand. Incredible exclamation point.
So good.
And then we get a fake ad for the fax sex hotline, which is
why
kind of blue for
it?
Al, but damn.
Surprisingly, he's promoting a service for it. It's like, do you want to call a phone? I wish I wrote down all the dialogue because it's really funny. It's like, do you want to call a phone sex hotline but not want to talk to some angry person who's mean to you?
Why talk directly to a bunch of dirty, underpaid women?
Oh, my God.
I love the faxes. He sends it, what are you wearing? And then he waits and he waits and he waits and he gets one back. Nothing.
It just says nothing. Al basically invented like very slow sexting with his fax sex program. Shit. Oh my God. It's so good.
It was so wonderful. Insanely funny. And then of course, what other song would he end Al TV with but Smells Like Nirvana? Yep. And then we just get a weird couple seconds of an MTV News special bulletin about super fans that I got about a minute into and was like, I don't need to watch this.
Yeah, I was done. I was done. When the girl's crying over that dude, no, thank you. I even forget the name, but yeah, no thanks.
But yeah, Al TV number 6. Hopefully we can find the rest of these Al TVs on the archive, because boy, do we get a much bigger picture of what this block of television truly was.
Yeah, we're gonna definitely keep trying to find, because this was really satisfying. I hope we can find more of this. If any of you listening have any leads on this type of Al TV, I definitely want to. I'd rather sit through the commercials, honestly, because it makes the whole experience so much more genuine. Yeah. Just to shout out, because we kind of mentioned a couple of them, but I really enjoyed the song selections that I assume were Al specific, the non-spoofed music videos that he picked for this. The first one that, Losing My Religion, but he does talk over that. But then They Might Be Giants, a song called The Statue Got Me High. Which is a great track. And if you're an Al fan who is not familiar with They Might Be Giants, we're approaching his actual style parody of them, but The Statue Got Me High is a great example of I think you'll find a lot to like in that song. It's accordion heavy, super catchy.
I've always thought They Might Be Giants was the other side of the nerd coin. Yeah. Like if Al went straight, he would be Giants.
I think you're absolutely right. Yeah.
No, I was one of them. I think there was a generation of kids like me who discovered They Might Be Giants because of Tiny Toons.
They did the Flood album.
Yeah, they did a series of music videos it was Particle Man and Istanbul. I was like, this is incredible.
And those are still two of their biggest songs because of how many people got introduced.
Yeah, I can probably still sing Particle Man word for word because of
Definitely. So They Might Be Giants, Statue Got Me High. We get Love Shack by the B-52s, which we know Al loves the B-52s. That would have been a big song at the time.
Has Fred Schneider always been 50?
Yes.
He's just 50, right? Just all the time?
I hope so. I hope he stays 50 for the rest of humanity, because we need him. We need him.
We do need him. We need
him. Yeah, that's going to be, I have a mental list in my head of who are going to be the people that when I wake up one morning and see a bunch of people have posted a picture of a celebrity, will my heart shatter?
Yeah.
And that is Fred Schneider's going to be one of those ones that I don't think about, but then when it happens, I'm going to just be like, oh no.
Yeah. Just be a little bit sadder. Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Madness.
House of Fun by Madness. We get the music video for Free Fallen by Tom Petty. Yep. Which is another glorious 90s video with skateboarding.
Tom Petty videos are super underrated, I think.
Yeah, I thought for sure he would be doing something with this song, and I kept clicking around, and I'm like, nope, this is just straight up.
There's enough weird surrealism in Tom Petty videos that I think it's a bit of a genre match for Weird Al in a weird way.
Absolutely.
There's at least two Tom Petty music videos that I distinctly remember terrifying me, and it was the Don't Come Around Here No More Alice in Wonderland video, and the Mary Jane's Last Dance video is very unsettling to watch.
It's a gothic horror. Yeah. I mean, Kim Basinger dies.
But then she opens her eyes underwater at the very end.
Exactly. It's terrifying. It's great. And then they eat the dress in the Alice in Wonderland. Yeah. It's terrifying video. Yeah. Tom Petty. I love his videos.
That Tom Petty video, I would have forgotten because it feels so not appropriate now. Like the second, final minute or two of that video are literally just kids skateboarding in a half pipe. it's so 90s at the time. Like it was just so in skateboarding. That's going to make Tom Petty seem young and hip. Put all these skateboarders in there. It is a great video, though. I love it. The only other one I have is the David Byrne She's Mad, which again is not spoofed. It's just played later. To be honest, I did not know that song at all, and it was not bad.
No, it felt like a deep cut. It felt like something that Al would have in his own private record collection he threw on for this.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Again, just examples of artists Al has referenced in his work before. Clearly, he's a big fan. Yeah. And then, other than that, there's they play the Money for Nothing video in here. It ends with Smells Like Nirvana. Al gets a couple of his own videos
you
to
be squeeze them in there.
Exactly.
For sure,
but... Yeah.
I'm wondering if anything in that Money for Nothing video would hit with today's audience. Like Dire Straits, nobody knows about him. Beverly Hillbillies, nobody knows about them, right? The computer graphics are all... I feel like everything has aged in that song.
It's definitely one of our... I think it's, if not our lowest rated, very close to the bottom on our album music video rankings. Because it's this is not... It doesn't even really have jokes in it. It's just like, hey, we redid the Dire Straits video. Almost shot for shot, but here's some Beverly Hillbillies.
If anything, the best thing about it now is to watch that animation at the beginning and be like, can you believe that was the best we could do? That was can you believe we made this? Look at how he moves.
One good bit in that video that I caught when Dire Straits, Mark Knopfler is looking at this camera and then he looks at this camera. And you see Weird Al, he looks at this camera. And then this camera, and then this camera, and then the camera behind him, and then a camera above him, and he's trying to find the camera the whole time. That was funny.
That's good.
That's good. That's pretty good. But all right.
I have to give one other quick shout out just for a commercial, sure. Because for anyone I know who is familiar with Long Island, which is where I grew up, Long Island, New York, there is a commercial in the middle of this episode, in the middle of this block. I'm assuming whoever recorded this must have lived on Long Island because there's a lot of local ads for car lots and stuff. There is a commercial for a place called the Courtesy Hotel that could not be more obviously a sex hotel.
Yeah.
With
wall-to-wall mirrors.
Afternoon day rates, wall-to-wall mirrors, and just these slow zoom-in shots of this man and woman awkwardly holding each other like this.
That whole block was funny because you have Courtesy Hotel where we all got scabies, and then the very next commercial is for vaginal cream for yeast infections.
Yes.
It was just an incredible two for
great.
Right there in the middle.
It was yes. But the Courtesy Hotel in Hempstead, very close to where I grew up, and I just that ad took my breath away. I couldn't believe that just ran midday on MTV. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. Speaking of that Long Island, something that I noticed in there, because I used to live in Queens, was PC Richardson and Son have not changed their jingle in over 30 years.
Nope.
It's that same whistle. It's been the same.
PC
it will
Richard,
always be the same.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, that's how they do it. Yeah, no, I mean, again, I could even just talk about the commercials forever. I loved commercials promoting pay-per-view. There was a whole pay-per-view commercial saying this month on pay-per-view, you can finally rent the new Rutger Hauer movie.
Yeah.
At last,
we can watch it from the comfort of your own home.
Oh, thank God.
Blockbuster video commercials and stuff. Oh, it's just so wonderful to see it all. It was so good.
Yep.
So
Tower good. Records.
Tower
selling
Records.
Selling a space camp contest. Yes, please.
That's right.
Well, that was LTV episode 6. We've got 4 more of these plus 2 more Much Music. So there's plenty more Al sketch comedy for us.
Mm-hmm.
But Nate... Thank you for joining us. We will absolutely have you back on for
a genuine
episode. But in the meantime, do you want to plug anything that you're up to? I don't know, a podcast where you live in a magical apartment.
Ooh. Yeah. So my roommate, Bacon, and I, we do 91 Donkey Lane. We've been doing it for a few years. We really enjoy it. It's funny. We're on season 2 now, and we've just gotten back to the house. So we're back in 91 Donkey Lane. Adventures are starting up again. We're looking forward. It should be a funny, fun season. I love that podcast.
So good. Highly recommended to listeners of our show. It's so fun.
It's genuinely my favorite podcast to listen to. Anytime a new episode comes out, I literally drop what I'm doing and find time to listen to it. So we'll be back next week with even more Weird Al back catalog stuff. I guess so.
You've been lost in the woods for hours now, stumbling around in the dark. You come around the bend and see two people roasting marshmallows over a roaring fire. They see you coming into the clearing and gesture over to pull up a log. Welcome to Campfire Ashes. I'm Paul.
And I'm Jess. Join us as we tell each other our originally written spooky stories around the campfire and then dive into the lore and legends that inspired them. Is it something that goes bump in the night? Is it something menacing lurking past the tree line? Or is it just weird and otherworldly? You'll find it here on Campfire Ashes.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, or right here on the Geekscape Network.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.